This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, August 9th, 2020, the ninth Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Save me, O God, for thy name's sake, and avenge me in thy strength. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. These words of the psalmist, asking God to save him, he focuses on something that makes him sure that God is going to save him, and that is God's strength. If you come here more than a couple weeks, you will hear my unveiled jibes at the way our Lord is presented in a lot of places in our day. I use quippy little terms like the cosmic Santa Claus who's waiting for us to ask him for things and he gives them to us, or the teddy bear Jesus who doesn't care what people do because he's just nothing but grace and mercy. I have such disdain for those presentations because it's not the presentation of Scripture. The Scriptures are God's revelation of himself to us. There is no place in Scripture, none whatsoever, that communicates God as being some kind of pushover or some milquetoast cosmic being that doesn't care what we do down here. He does care. I said there's not one place in Scripture that reveals God anything but being our rock, our fortress, our refuge. The psalmist in another psalm that says, who is this Lord of glory? And the response is, he is the Lord of glory, mighty in battle. All these martial terms that are applied to our Lord, these terms should give us an understanding of who God is. At first reading today, I love that reading, Elijah goes up and God lets him know that he's going to come to him. Elijah's waiting for God to be there. You know, the way to be presented, oh, it's anticipation. God's going to be here. We hear about his anticipation. We had these pictures of a wind and fire. And is it the wind? We're all from, you know, most of you, Central Florida, right? You know, if you've been here more than a couple years, you've seen a hurricane or a tropical storm. You know, wind is kind of scary, really. It picks things up and throws them around, tears your stuff up in your house, shingles off your roof and everything like that. I've been in some pretty bad hurricanes. I have never seen wind that busted rocks. Okay? As God is approaching Elijah, the wind breaks rocks. That's got to be petrifying. And then there is this fire and all that. He's overwhelmed. And it keeps saying, but God is not there. This is just his approach. This is just an approach. And then there was a still small wind. You hear all the people, think, you know, the warm and fuzzy folks. Yeah. See, Jesus just speaks in a still small wind. What does Elijah do when God is in the still small wind? He covers his face with his mantle. He will not even look. Because the approach of God in his strength is overwhelming to him. So when God himself shows up, even if he's in a still small wind, he's scared to death. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, we hear several times. That first reading should give us a heads up as to how we approach and understand God. He is a God in our creed, the first article. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. How many times do we hear that word through the Mass? I mean, it's everywhere in the Mass. Almighty. What does that mean? Almighty. Sounds very churchy. It means exactly what he says. Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. That omnipotence that God has. He is so strong. Nothing influences, nothing is stronger than him. Nothing bends him. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. With him, there is no variableness of change. He is immovable. This is truly the God we worship. This should be such a source of comfort. I'm reading a book right now, and it's a good book about the priesthood. And Father who wrote it, it's 1930s. And he actually points out, he goes, you know, in the past, we've really emphasized his justice too much. This is the 1930s. But in our day, we're really starting to overemphasize his mercy and his righteousness. And it's like, you know, if he said that in the 1930s, that we're overemphasizing his mercy and his grace, he'd have a heart attack in our day and age. That's all we hear. That's not all who God is. He is God Almighty. And we should appreciate that. We should appreciate that because God being Almighty, this is not just, and if there is an overemphasis on his justice, it's problematic. Because God is not, because if you talk too much about God being Almighty in this, you start to get into this whole mindset of, he's just waiting up there just to bash you for the first thing that you do wrong. And that's not God. Okay, we have to understand that the divine justice is actually the salvation of those who trust in him. God shows his strength first and foremost in his mercy, because God is and would be well within his parameters and well within his justice and righteousness if he did smite us for everything that we do wrong. I mean, it's very clear, thou shalt not. Okay, but guess what we do? We don't care. We do it anyway. He would be well within his justice to smite all day long, but he doesn't. He shows his mercy first and foremost in the fact that he doesn't do that. It takes a very strong individual to be offended time and time and time again, basically spat upon. That's what we do, we spit in God's face. We step on the cross. We say, we don't care. I don't care if he died for my sins. I'm going to do X. Because he doesn't smite us shows his strength. And we should appreciate the heck out of that. We have to appreciate that he is God Almighty. I always try to think of some like really profound theological illustrations for things. But the only illustration I could come up with is in our relationship with God is the campy movies that you watch where the little kid gets bullied on the playground. And he gets like the linebacker of the football team to hang out with him, and he doesn't have to worry about getting bullied anymore. Because why? Because his boy can beat up the bullies. That's us and God. That's us and God. Our playground is this life, and the bullies are the world, the flesh, and the devil that we hear about from our baptism. We have bullies that are going to pick on us the entire time we're here. They are bullies, and they will beat you senseless if you don't have somebody to help you. The one who helps us is Almighty God. We just have to cooperate and make him our friend. And he will take care of business for us. This is the bottom line truth of the matter in our relationship with Jesus. This Psalm 54, 53, if you use an older version of the Bible. This Psalm is not a, hey, everybody, this is an individual entreaty. This is an individual asking God to help him in his strength. It doesn't matter what the situation is. A really cool thing about this psalm is in the old breviary, in the Roman breviary, this psalm is used every time the Psalms of Sunday are used on a feast day, and every single Wednesday, this psalm is used by the clerics and the religious of Holy Church, if they use the old breviary. And the footnote before you read that psalm is, and I quote, in the stress of today's temptations, when the forces of the evil one attack your soul, pray this psalm with deepest confidence. This is why we have confidence in God, is because of his being almighty, his omnipotence, his strength. This is what we need to appreciate, because it's not only, hey, yeah, I got God on my side and he's almighty. God even shares his strength with you. First and foremost, through the Eucharist, the confessional, these things, the sacramental graces that we receive from them, they strengthen us to be able to start to defend ourselves a little bit. It's like you got the martial artist to help you out on the playground. He can teach you martial arts too, so you can start defending yourself. That's God with us. We just have to listen to what he says and take the instruction. We see this in the gospel today. And there's a couple different things going on in the gospel that sort of drive home what I'm saying. It just said that the strength of God is shared with us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he looks out, and note that the boat's not on a glassy sea, okay? The boat is being buffeted back and forth. The winds are strong, and our Lord looks out. We're going to go out and help him, walking on the water. God Almighty can walk on water like it's concrete, okay? Omnipotence. Nothing. He doesn't be bound by the laws of nature. He's walking on the water. Do the apostles look out of the boat? Oh, it's awesome. Jesus walking on water. They screamed out in terror. You guys are fishermen. These are tough guys. And they scream because Jesus is coming. Fear not. It is I. If it's you, Lord, bid me come to you on the water. Come. Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking on water like it's concrete. God communicates, Jesus Christ communicates his power to Peter and allows him to do what Jesus does. Peter gets close to Jesus and he starts taking his eyes off Jesus and he starts to freak out, okay? Lord, save me! Jesus immediately reaches out. If Jesus was presented the way he's presented in most places now, what would he hear? Peter, why would you ever doubt? Because I love you so much, I would never have anything happen to you because I'm so gracious and merciful. He looks at Peter and says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He chastises him. Why, Jesus, lighten up. The guy thought he was going to drown. I won't lighten up. He should have known better. He walked on the water. That should have been enough for him. I communicated my strength for him and he took his eyes off me. This is us. This is us in this world. You know, all kind of faith when everything's going the way we want it to go. Everything's working just fine. And all of a sudden, it's not. Something bad happens or something we don't agree with, something we weren't expecting. And what happens? We start to sink. Our Lord's words, he does put his hand out and grab us. But his response is, if you're paying attention, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He knows what he's doing. He's omnipotent. We're not. We have to appreciate that. When we appreciate that, it should give us pause to think about what we have as being members of his church. We had two confirmations today. And what an illustration. To join the Catholic Church now, to be confirmed in the Catholic Church, it's like the storm, okay? Lord, if you want me to be Catholic, bid me come. Okay, come. And you walk on water, and then all of a sudden, the church this, or this person says that, or this is going on in this Mass, or they're not having Mass, or something like that. And you take your eyes off of the omnipotent Lord, and you can sink. You have to understand that he's always there. He knows what he's doing. He's almighty, and he puts his hand up. We have to have faith. Those that are going to be confirmed, they have to live this life of faith. When things don't go the way we think, or we start to take our eyes off Jesus, put your eyes back on him. He's going to communicate his strength to you for that. And we all have to appreciate that's where we are. He is there to help us in these times when we, in our own free will, take our eyes off him. That idea of free will, the psalmist speaks in verse 6 of Psalm 54 after he has such confidence in God and the strength that God has. He says, Lord, with a free will offering, I will sacrifice to thee. I will give thanks to thy name, O Lord, for it is good. It's a good thing that God is almighty. It's a good thing that we are in union with him, that he is there for us. But just like the psalmist, when we understand that, it should bring forth from within us the desire to do more for him than is expected. He doesn't say, with an offering, I will sacrifice thee, because you know what? Offerings are mandated. There are some offerings that you have to give to the Lord. why are you here today? Oh, you're doing God a favor, okay? You've got to be here today. You have to. If you're not here for any good reason, you're in grave sin. What? Nobody's ever told me that before. If you miss Sunday Mass for no good reason, you are in grave sin. Do not receive communion again until you go to confession. Okay? I never heard that. Whatever. You did now. Because that's the commandment. Okay? You have to be here. This is your obligation, just like every holy day of obligation. There are things that we have to do for God. Free will offering is doing something over and above. You're here because you have to. You're here. I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to go to church on Sunday. Whatever, that's between you and him. If you really appreciate who he is, you will be like the psalmist and you will give free will offerings. That's going over and above. Free will offering is an offering that is not prescribed by the law. You don't have to do this. It's not something you're given because of your sins. It is just because you love him. That's going to daily mass, if you can swing that. A lot of people can't. Is doing other things. Rosaries, novenas, chaplets, things like that. Those are the things that we do that are over and above. Those are the free will offerings. As opposed to watching the show you want to watch on TV or playing the game you want to play on the device or talking to somebody on social media, read Scripture. It's a free will offering. I will offer sacrifice. He didn't say, I'll do things that I like. I will offer sacrifice to thee. When we understand who God is and him being almighty, it will bring forth within us the desire to do this. Not just a grudging presentation of something to him, but truly what he desires of us, to love him for who he is, almighty God. And so tie this up, I will give thanks to thy name, O Lord, for it is good. It is a very good thing to know that we serve and are in union with God Almighty himself, the one who can walk on water, and that he communicates that strength to us that we can overcome things in this world. We should give thanks for that. We should give thanks for that, and we should appreciate it beyond measure. That, to use my illustration, we have a friend that keeps us free from the bullies on this playground. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.